I've been working on this lesson for about 20 years. That's how long Patrice and I have been parents, about 20 years. And I'll still be working on it. But it's things that I want for my children and for yours. And I wanted to share it today because of our graduating seniors. And I hope that I'll be communicating not only what I want for my children and for yours, but what you want for your children and your grandchildren. And the things that I want for my children and for yours are not going to be material things. I'm not going to speak directly to what kind of house I hope they'll have, what kind of car they'll drive, or even not necessarily what kind of career they'll pursue. But these are some intangibles that will directly impact their lives for now and for eternity. And I hope I'm speaking for all of us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, things that we all want for our children. Patrice and I have no greater joy than to be parents of our four children. But we also acknowledge there's no greater responsibility that we've ever been given than to be their parents. And I'm glad the four of them are here. Patrice is not able to be here. She's sick today. And I'm sure she's sick about not being able to be here. But these are things that I want for my children and for yours. Number one, and primarily, I want my children to be Christians. I'm going to read you a description of a person. And after I read the description, I want you to see if you're able to determine who this description describes. He made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessing of the Almighty and the Christian confessions, which would become the pillars of the new government. He assumed the earnestness of a man weighed down by historic responsibility. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength for his great work from it, as scores of pious people welcomed him as a man sent from God. Who was he? You may be surprised to learn this man's name was Adolf Hitler. He was a master of outward religiosity in the eyes of some, but with absolutely no inward reality. When I say that I want my children to be Christians, I'm not talking about some kind of outward religiosity. I am talking about something that comes from the inside out. William Barclay writes, "It's possible to be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. To be a camp follower without being a soldier of the king. To be a hanger-on in some great work without pulling one's weight." Once someone was talking to a great scholar about a younger man. He said, "So-and-so tells me that he was one of your students." The teacher answered devastatingly, "He may have attended my lectures, but he was not one of my students." William Barclay goes on to say there's a world of difference between attending lectures and being a student. It is one of the supreme handicaps of the church that in the church there are so many distant followers of Jesus and so few real disciples. What I want for my children and for yours is for them to be genuine Christians. Genuine Christians. I want them to seek to sincerely follow Jesus, to be real disciples, learners, followers of Christ. Their outward religion to come from an inward reality of a genuine relationship with God through His Son Jesus. I want my children and yours to sincerely seek first the kingdom of God in their lives. I want my children and yours to be Christians. Secondly, I want my children and yours to be competent, especially in their knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Listen to Paul as he writes to Timothy. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As Paul is writing to Timothy, he's writing to his young son in the faith, and he's reminding him, remember the word that you've been taught since you were young, and from whom you learned those truths of God's word, and continue in them. Recognize the place that the Bible is to have in your life. It's profitable for every aspect of your life. It's the way that God has equipped you for every good work. I want my children and yours to be competent in their understanding of God's word. Paul would also write to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. King James Version has study to show yourselves approved unto God. But the idea is giving diligence to present ourselves approved to God. But the way that we do that is by correctly handling the word of truth. I want my children and yours to be able to correctly handle the word of truth, to know what they believe and why they believe it, so that they'll be able to withstand false teachings that will come from around them. That they should be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 14. I want my children and yours to be competent in their knowledge of the Word of God, but I also want them to be competent just simply in daily living. I want them to understand how to be productive citizens in society and how to work hard and effectively, how to get along with others, how to be a good family member, how to manage their money and all the other details that come with being an adult. I want them to be competent with common sense. Amen? And I want them to be competent in a field of their choosing. Of their choosing. Whatever career they may find in which they can utilize their talents, they can support themselves and even be generous to others, that they can enjoy, one that they can be a blessing to others, and one in which they can glorify God. I want them to be competent in a field of their choosing. But thirdly, I want my children and yours to be convicted. To be convicted. A conviction is a strong persuasion or belief, Merriam-Webster says. But I suggest this definition. A conviction is something that you'll stand upon, even if you have to stand alone. Athanasius was an early bishop of Alexandria. He stoutly opposed the teachings of Arius. Arius taught that Christ was not the eternal Son of God, but a subordinate being. Athanasius was hounded through five exiles, and he was finally summoned before the emperor, who demanded that he cease his opposition to Arius. The emperor said to Athanasius, "Do you not realize that all the world is against you?" And Athanasius replied, "Then I'm against all the world. I'm against all the world." I want my children and yours to have deeply held convictions based upon the Word of God, upon which they'll stand even if they have to stand alone. I want them to be that deeply convicted about the truth of God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But Paul writes these things, put on the whole armor of God, to what end? So that you may stand. That you may stand true, on solid ground, able to withstand the wiles, the schemes of Satan. I want my children and yours to be able to stand upon their convictions based upon the Word of God. Fourthly, I want my children and yours to be confident. To be confident. There was a young woman that asked for an appointment with her preacher. She said she needed to talk to him about a besetting sin about which she was worried. And she said when she met with him, she said, "Preacher, I've become aware of a sin in my life that I'm having trouble controlling. Every time I'm at church, I begin to look around at the other women. I realize I'm the prettiest one in the whole congregation. None of the others can compare with my beauty. What can I do about this?" The preacher replied, "Mary, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake." What this woman was really struggling with is pride. And when I say that I want my children and yours to be confident, I'm not speaking about being arrogant or cocky or proud. Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. I don't want my children or yours to be proud in that sense. That's repulsive. It's repulsive to others. It's repulsive to God. Proverbs 6 is one of the things that God hates that are an abomination to Him. The list begins, a proud look or haughty eyes. It's looking down on others. That's not the kind of thing I want for my children or yours. Because the Bible says God resists or He opposes the proud. James 4 and verse 6. This is the type of confidence that I want for your children and for mine. Romans 12 verse 3, "I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." I want my children and yours to be confident knowing who they are, whose they are, and also know the real source of their strength. That it's not in themselves. It's not in their own abilities. But it's in Christ. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And it's knowing the source of your strength that'll give you the type of confidence that glorifies God. I want my children and yours to be courageous. To be courageous. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there's always someone to tell you that you're wrong. There are always difficulties arising that tempt you to believe that your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them." Courage. Whatever you do, you need courage. And I want my children and yours to be courageous enough to try new things. That is, good things, not foolish things. I'm not desiring for your children or mine to have the type of courage that would cause them to do senseless things. I love this statement by the name of Jim Feibig. "There's a fine line between courage and foolishness. Too bad it's not a fence." I want my children and yours to have courage to try new good things, worthwhile things. I want my children and yours to be courageous enough to grow, to stretch themselves, to do things that they need to that may cause them to be uncomfortable, but they know that they're good to do and right to do. I want my children and yours to be courageous enough to do what needs to be done, even when it's difficult. I love the Lord's statement to Joshua. He felt so inadequate to lead the people of Israel. Listen to what God said. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I'd like to change that a little bit for parents as we speak to our children. Be strong and courageous, that you may observe everything that God wants you to do. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be prosperous wherever you go. The Lord went on to say to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And applying it to our children, we're saying, don't depart from this book. You study it. You meditate upon it. You fill your minds with it. You seek to live by this book. Then you'll make your way prosperous in the way God defines success. True success is knowing the will of God and doing it. God said to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. And God says to you, I am with you. Therefore, be strong and courageous. I want my children and yours to be courageous enough to do God's will. I want my children and yours to be people of character. People of character. John Wooden, famous coach for the UCLA Bruins basketball team, said, be more concerned with your character than you are with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. I want my children and yours to develop these kind of character traits: responsibility, integrity, goodness, honesty, trustworthiness, and all the synonyms and the characteristics like those. If you look at this particular list, it begins with the letters R-I-G-H-T. I want my children and yours to develop those kinds of character traits that are right in the sight of God. Because I took note of Sidney Harris' comment. He says, I'm tired of hearing about men with the courage of their convictions. Nero and Caligula and Attila and Hitler had the courage of their convictions, but not one had the courage to examine his convictions or to change them, which is the true test of character. I want my children and yours to be people of character with the right character traits and the willingness to, if they find that they're doing something wrong, the courage to change. I want my children and yours to be committed. Committed. Committed to God and to His Word. Committed to family. Committed to doing what's right, even when everybody else is doing wrong. To be committed to the very end. I want my children and yours to be able to say as they're approaching their death what Paul said, the time of my departure has come, but I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved His appearing. I hope my children and your children stay committed to serving God for the rest of their lives. But finally, I want my children and yours to be considerate. And this one, perhaps more than any of the others, takes us out of ourselves. Wait. Takes us out of ourselves. Let me remind you of a quote that was shared with me recently. The tiniest package in the world is, and the answer is, a person wrapped up in himself. I want my children and yours to realize it's not about you. And the sooner we learn that, the better. It's not about me. In fact, if I think I'm the center of my universe, I'm off center. I've missed it. It is about serving God and serving others. That's what it's about. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." I want my children and yours to always be considerate of others. I've personalized it to hopefully underscore to you how strongly I feel about these things. But really, though I've said it's what I want for my children and yours, it's really the things that God wants for all of us. God wants all of us, each and every one of us, to be Christians. God wants each and every one of us to be competent in His Word and about how to live for now and for eternity. God wants each and every one of us to be convicted about and stand upon the truth of His Word, to be confident knowing that He is with us and therefore we can be courageous to do His will. He wants each and every one of us to be people of character, the right kind of character, to be committed to Him, to His Word, to His church, to our families, but always to be considerate of others. You see, it's really what God wants. That's what God wants for all of us. And He's given us the opportunity to grow in these areas. And it begins by becoming a child of His. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you turned from your sins in repentance? Are you ready, if you've not obeyed the gospel, are you ready to do so even this morning? Confessing Jesus before this assembly, you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And at the same moment, added to His family. At the same moment, beginning that walk as a Christian who's seeking to grow in all these areas in which God wants us to grow, and that He'll help us to do so. What about those of us who have obeyed the gospel? Have we continued to grow? Or have we gotten off track? Do we need to recommit our lives to serving Him? If so, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to respond, please come right now as we stand and sing.